The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Singapore Budget Forum 2019, where in just under 60 minutes, we're going to tackle the key highlights of the budget, the biggest takeaways, and what's behind the numbers for you. We have quite a distinguished panel tonight. Several economists, a tax expert. For a ground-up point of view, we're going to hear the view from the business sector and, of course, the viewpoint from academia. I'm Michelle Martin, together with JP Ong.
Yes, Michelle, so many topics to talk about, so little time, but luckily we have a jam-packed panel to help us out with that today. For we have PwC's tax leader, Chris Wu, joining us today. We have Alvin Liu, one of the lead economists over at UOB. Representing the Singapore Business Federation, we also have Ernie Koh and Professor Sumit Agarwal from NUS Business School. Welcome, gentlemen. Good evening.
Great to have you with us. If we could start with your overall impressions of the budget. Professor, let's start with you.
So I think it's a very balanced budget that has been inclusive of the elderly, of the poor, of the needy, and actually of also thinking about the very precious resources that we need to worry about. What I think was special was the emphasis on the technology to grow small businesses and also the role of technology to help employees to retrain themselves and become better in an economy that is becoming much more competitive and internationally. So how Singaporeans can use AI and also more advanced technologies, I think that was what stood out to me.
Ernie, what were your biggest takeaways?
In a business perspective, I think it's a carryover of 2018 budget, a lot of it, and a little bit improvement, a lot of targeted approach. There are a little bit disappointment with regards to the labor issues, and they are using the trade associations and all to help the small companies.
Okay, and Alvin is an economist with UOB. Alvin, what was the reaction like when you heard the budget?
As I was talking to you just now, when he started off with on security topics, right? I thought that was quite an interesting way of opening the budget. And that probably also reflects the times that we are in, not just with our major trading partners, but with our neighbors and the need to increase that security and diplomacy spending, right, to 30% versus 28% last year. But also one point that we took away, as I mentioned to you earlier, that where I was working, the reaction was fairly quiet when the whole process of the budget speech was being delivered. And pretty much so, if you look at the background of the parliament as well, not very big reactions from the people in the parliament.
So no cheers, no jeers.
I think it was a lot of things was expected, and probably there was not anything that really stood out to really have a big exciting effect.
Okay. Chris, was it a fairly conservative budget, in your opinion?
No, I don't think it was. But there is an unsung hero in terms of what was released in terms of, it's always, as they say, the devil's in the details.
Yes.
And something which just came out is in terms of them encouraging the funds industry. Certainly, the government's been listening to a lot of feedback as to what they want to try and do. And the funds industry is a very important element because it's an alternative capital market side and is there to really help boost the SMEs. It's helped to fund the startups, the VCs, do help to promote new technology, new ways of doing businesses. And certainly in terms of the older economies too, it offers them alternatives of funds as well. So that part is really not quite mentioned by Mr. Heng because he does this, it's in the details. And I'm happy to talk more about it later.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it also, I mean, one of the big thrusts of the budget and of the economy here is really just trying to lift up a lot of these small and medium enterprises also. This the idea of bringing a lot and making it easier for some of these angel investors, some of these venture capitalists actually to try to lift the plight of these small and medium enterprises. And do you think that's actually going to help out? I'd also like to ask Ernie about this also.
I think the venture capitalist is one element of business.
Mm-hmm.
The other element of a business, especially for a small and medium-sized enterprise, human capital, the access to market. So those are the elements that I think needs to be more focused. As I say, it's very targeted. They have the Skill Up SG that they are talking about. it's about time to have the next Charles and Keith and the next OSIM. It's been a long while that Singapore doesn't have one. So with this, I think, scale-up program, we will hopefully see a shining star that are able, a few of them, that are able to live up to the Charles and Keith and the OSIM ranks. Mm-hmm.
Do you see this as a budget that can largely be seen as a continuation of the commitment to economic transformation with a similar focus on deep restructuring that we've seen in previous budgets? Are we moving fast enough to sort of change with the waves that are hitting the economy and workplaces? Professor?
I think so. I mean, I think in that, I mean, he said it continuously that, look, we are working on deep restructuring on all aspects of the economy, especially the businesses and small businesses, which most likely are lagging behind because they can't keep up, and industries that are much more labor intensive on how to either bring them up or carve them out, and especially push the ones that are technologically advanced. So we need to keep up with the world economies.
30% of total expenditure this year going to defense, security and diplomacy, with digital defense newly named as our sixth pillar of total defense and a bug bounty program. Given the recent data breaches of medical records and repeated incursions of Singapore waters by Malaysia's government vessels, many say that this defense spend was expected. So apart from the increase in defense, are there any other areas of increases in government spending that really stood out for you? Alvin?
Okay, of course, on the healthcare portion. And with related to that, of course, the Merdeka package. And those itself also reflects pretty much demographics and what is really needed in Singapore's context. We are not having a unique problem, the aging society. This is happening in many parts of the world. Mm. But how we are dealing with it in a way that benefits the most people that needs it the most, but at the same time, right, at a more sustainable pace itself. I think they are trying to achieve a lot of these things. It's not easy, but clearly from this pack, whatever that we see right now, right, it's moving in that direction.
Alvin, I remember just a few weeks ago, UOB had an initial estimate of the potential but deficit moving forward, about 1.2 billion Singapore dollars. It's now going to be possibly projected at 3.5 billion for the following year. Can we still call it a manageable deficit if it does hit 3.5 billion?
First off, this the emphasis is on fiscal discipline and prudence. And one thing about the government as well, right, is about conservative outlook. If you look at since, I think, fiscal year 2005, right, they have always underestimated the how the being very cautious about the fiscal out. And if you look at what happened in 2018, right, it was supposed to be a slight deficit, mm-hmm. and now we got a rather healthy fiscal surplus. And chances are, when we look at this number, it depends on how the 2019 pans out. If we do get a year of growth where it's on the higher end of government's forecast of the 1.5 to 3.5%, then suddenly we may not be seeing that that deficit coming through. In fact, I think this is a very conservative kind of practice that the current government has always put in place.
Let's turn now to measures meant to ensure that our firms and workers remain competitive. The Singapore Business Federation, through its SME committee, has since 2012 given recommendations to the government. And for Budget 2019, the key items on the wish list, Ernie, included a hold on the further tightening on foreign manpower quotas, given the short supply of skilled manpower. But in Budget 2019, we see a tightening of the dependency ratio ceiling for the services sector. For the listener, this will take place in two steps. It'll go down from the current 40% to 38% in 1st January 2020 and then 35% on 1st January 2021. And for the SPAS sub-DRC, that'll be tightened downward by 5% by 2021 from the current 15% moving to 10%. So Ernie, your general reactions to that?
It's tough for the government. On one hand, they have to satisfy the people because there's a little bit of a negative reaction with regards to foreign labour. On the other hand, the small and medium-sized enterprise and the businesses needs this worker. So you need a balance of the both. But it seems like the voice of the people are getting stronger and stronger as compared to the voice of the businesses. So with this, I think the most negative, in my personal opinion, of this budget is the DRC tightening. It's sectoral based, concentrating on the service and the retail service industry. But service industry is a broad base, comprises of designers, architects, IT, retail and F&B, among other things. I think they need to look into it again to sector it differently, because there are some industry, there are some subsectors that still need this this foreign talent, because you either lack of it or you are hungry to acquire more knowledge of it in design and in IT. On the other hand, F&B and retail is heavily dependent on these foreigners, but on the other hand, they are not able to get the locals to get involved in this industry. As a result, no matter how much tightening the foreign on that the foreign workers on that sector, it's not going to help. So the only way is to see whether you can help them in their increasing their productivity. But again, it's tough because the F&B and retail are the entry of barrier is very very shallow. It's very easy to get in and get out. So the attrition rate, that means the failure rate in this industry, is very high. So people come in and out, and you retrain workers, and it start all over again as a new company comes in. So it's a very difficult sector to tackle on the retail and F&B. But on the other hand, the other sector with regards to design, IT, and among other things, that one needs to be seriously looked into. Rather than tightening up, it may have to ease out even more to attract more skill to upgrade the level of that service within that sector.
Which sectors are likely to be badly hit? You know, some of the people we've spoken to say it's the elder care sector that's manpower reliant and so could be hit.
Elder care and the both ends of the spectrum, the child care and the elder care. Some of this you are not able to, using technology, using robots to help to a larger extent. A lot of it is a personal care that has to be involved.
I think any sector that you will see low wages is dependent on foreign labor. And especially because standards of living in Singapore are high and no Singaporean wants to do low-wage jobs because their outside options are much better in life. So those are the sectors will be affected as soon as you do these kind of policies. And the question is that the kind of sector you are trying to help or boost up, or you're saying, okay, we don't really care about that sector? So that's the question the government needs to get answered themselves.
And you know, indirectly, obviously, they are trying to in a way compel the service sector and sectors which are dependent on labor to really invest in technology which will reduce the dependency on folks doing whether or not be counting towels or whether or not be something which is very labor intensive in the hospitality industry, the service industry on people. It is really trying to compel our SMEs or even our large enterprises in those sectors to really go out there and says, look, you've got to invest in the technology behind it, but no, not it will be robotics, the automation, and also the reskilling of our people. So we're seeing some of the incentives flow through from the tech side as well, the continuation of it.
So because this announcement comes ahead, a year ahead of expected implementation, is that sufficient lead time, do you think, for people to turn to tech?
I think the past 3 years, the adoption of technology to improve productivity in the service sector, there are a lot of headways and there are a lot of success factors. And you're seeing even on common we citizens going into certain retail shops and you're seeing a lot of adoption of technology. But to a certain extent, these services, to a certain extent, needs to be more personalized. On the other hand, a wild thought that certain a little cultural shift will increase the productivity of the service sector in a long way. Consumer expectation of service, consumer expectation of things to be done at the service level perhaps needs to change. You go, for instance, you go to McDonald's outside Singapore, you bus your own tray. In Singapore, you leave it on a dead table.
True.
Hawker center, places like this. So little mindset change in consumerism goes a long way to help the service industry to increase productivity.
You're listening to a budget conversation. We're discussing budget 2019. Let's take a listen to Finance Minister delivering his budget speech, talking about the foreign workers quota.
We'll adjust the workforce quota for the services sector. Reduce the services sector dependency ratio ceiling, or DRC, in two steps, from 40% to 38% on 1st January 2020 and to 35% on 1st January 2021. We'll also reduce the services sector S-Pass sub-DRC in two steps, from 15% to 13% on 1st January 2020 and to 10% on 1st January 2021. We are announcing these changes about a year ahead to give companies time to prepare. For firms whose existing workers are in excess of the new limits, the DRC will apply as and when these firms apply for renewal of permits.
Finance Minister, there you're listening to Singapore Budget 2019 conversation. So how is this action going to impact competitiveness of firms in the medium term, Ernie?
I think a lot of the government can do so much to the small and business enterprise. It's a lot to do with the small and SMEs themselves. The prescription for the government can help so much to make the SME a bit more healthy. But in order for the SME to be able to challenge themselves in international level, they need to be playing in a different level, skill level. Having said that, the targeted approach for SME to bring them up to the next level of the playing field with regards to the unicorns, the potential unicorns of SME.
Mm.
A lot of effort has been put into it, and my company is one of the potential that are able to take this advantage because of the growth potential that we have. Having said that, the fear of this is when a company, SME, when the government put a lot of effort in this to develop this to become a unicorn company, the next Charles & Keith or the next Osim of Singapore. The capital market of Singapore, the valuation of the market is to companies is not as attractive as the regional markets, and the excitement of raising more capital through the public listing is not as flamboyant as other markets in this region. As a result, many foreign companies may see this as a very attractive company to acquire. So you develop a company, SME, to be a big to be a unicorn, only to be acquired by a MNC, a foreign multinational.
So it's as if you're not creating Singaporean corporations, you're creating Singaporean targets for acquisition.
Exactly. So something got to do with the capital market. Something got to do with this so that there's excitement within Singapore to make sure that the companies that we develop to this level stays in Singapore.
Hmm. The other thing also that was brought up was the possible scrapping of the non-ordinary resident segment also. They're looking at possibly higher taxes for some of these higher leveled foreign talent here. And I think one of the concerns that was raised also by some people we've spoken to is that this could actually make Singapore a less attractive destination for some of this high-end foreign talent that could come into some of these tech areas that Singapore is trying to grow as well. What do you gentlemen have to say about this, and what kind of impact this might have? Maybe I could start with Chris.
Sure. I mean, the NOR scheme, the Not Ordinarily Resident scheme, has been in Singapore since 2002. It was placed there initially to act as a personal tax incentive to attract highly talented individuals to be based in Singapore and to basically work in the region or even globally from Singapore, because most of the time they would be actually living off the plane outside Singapore. So that was the whole genesis behind it. But since 2002, Singapore, I think, has become quite a different city in terms of its appeal not only to the actual senior executive, but also to his or her family in terms of making Singapore a lot more livable. So I think with that in mind, just using a tax scheme this way needed some revisiting. And so therefore, the government, I think, has seen that it doesn't need to have it as one of the key pillars to attract talent. And so therefore, it's looking to put it into a sunset phase. I think it's going to be sunset after about 2024, about 4 years' time.
Right. Could this have an impact on, say, the ability of some of these smaller, medium-sized enterprises to attract human capital later on also? And is that, or is this a concern at all by the Small Business Federation?
I think that's why the concern of the government is concerned of this. That's why the internship starts coming in, the global internship, the global internship program. Hopefully, the Singaporeans comes into play, and hopefully, they are able to be incorporated into the SMEs and the local companies rather than being, you know, transfer and transform into China or into this region. I was in a Starbucks in Shanghai, and three of their top management is Singaporeans. And this is a talent drain, so to speak, from Singaporeans into the region. So hopefully with this internship program and the assimilation to work together with SME, the students are able to be more acceptable to the local companies that are offering them the package.
I'd like to jump in on a bit on this, again, on the dependency ratio for the services sector,
sure.
Right? This is not, I believe that nothing is cast in stone in this case because it's a forward-looking 2020-2021 kind of timeline. And one of the things that was reflected was the offshore marine, where they had their debt levy rate deferred for another year.
Mm.
So assumption is if things goes well this year, they may carry it out still for the services sector. But if things go south or somewhere terribly wrong, right, we may see a deferment still to give them a bit more time. So nothing is, that thing is not exactly cast in stone.
Ernie, you had some suggestions on what could be done to mitigate the DRC tightening in terms of, you know, definition of services?
Yeah, it should be sectoralized. And again, sad to say, certain sector, because of not living up to the productivity target that the government wants, the punishment, so to speak, have to be there. But having said that, you have to sound it, you have to listen deeper into what the SME has to tell you, which again, it leads me to the point where the Minister of Finance was mentioning it, using the trade associations to help the SMEs. But on the other hand, we should also use the trade associations to gather information to feedback to the ministry with regards to this pressing issue, for instance, the DRC and all, whether we should continue to tighten in a situation that this cost of doing business is very, very high in Singapore. And two costs is that stands out is the human capital and the rental.
Mm-hmm.
And rental actually can be easily be manipulated, so to speak, by the development charges, among other things. Human capital is the thing that with this DRC come in is going to further increase the cost of doing business within Singapore.
Terrific. You're listening to Singapore Budget Discussions. Professor, did you want to jump in?
I think all of this will essentially end up raising prices, and ultimately the consumer will end up paying. So even if you say, okay, we want less foreign talent, because now the foreign talent will just demand higher salaries to come here. It's not that they will stop coming, but as a result, and all that will be passed down. So that's how I think about it. Our first principles of economics will tell me who is going to pay the consumer.
Yeah, with the GST coming in, with the costs coming, with all this, I think Singapore is really one of the most expensive in the world to live.
Mm.
And you have all this to come in. We have to really relook into it, especially in the next 2 and 3 years, where the economic activities in Singapore may not be as good as it was before.
Mm. Elvin Liu, Chris Wu, Ernie Koh, Professor Sumit Agarwal are our guests here on Singapore Budget 2019.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.